Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, looking ahead and getting ready for the August 13th primary, both on the congressional and state legislative level, as well as two referendum questions you'll face. It's all ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. The U.S. House of Representatives elections in Wisconsin are scheduled for November 5th, 2024, now just 121 days away. Voters will elect eight candidates to serve in the U.S. House from each of the state's eight U.S. House districts. The primary is August 13th of this year. The filing deadline for that was June 3rd. A primary election is an election in which registered voters select a candidate that they believe should be a political party's candidate for elected office to run in the general election. They're also used to choose convention delegates and party leaders. Primaries are state-level and local-level elections that take place prior to general election. Wisconsin utilizes an open primary system. That means registered voters do not have to be members of a party to vote in that party's primary. Two different congressional districts make up the WWIB listening area as we air at 103.7 FM and our various translators. One of them is the 3rd Congressional District in western Wisconsin, where Republican incumbent Derek Van Orden is seeking his second two-year term, and there's three candidates vying to square off against him in that November 5th general election. Three Democrats. They are Rebecca Cook, who ran and lost last time in the Democratic primary. Brad Paff advanced to face Van Orden in a close election and lost. He's a state senator serving in the La Crosse area, up for re-election for another four-year term there. Also, Katrina Shanklin, a state representative from the Stevens Point area, and Eric Wilson. At her website, cookforwisconsin.com, that's Cook with an E, Cook says, as a small business owner and nonprofit leader, she's focused her career on building community and serving others. Born and raised on an Eau Claire dairy farm and appointed by Governor Evers to the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, Rebecca says she knows the economic and social challenges facing the small towns and rural communities for which she's fiercely advocated for, from the kitchen table to the boardroom. Her website goes on to say that Cook's running for Congress to better serve communities across the state, put people first, and provide more opportunities for success, and that she'll be a relentless fighter for our way of life. She tells WKBT-TV,
I'm running a campaign that really is focused on my lived experiences, and we saw that kind of personal narrative really connect with voters across the district, and that they know that I've experienced a lot of the same hardship they have, and I've walked a mile in their shoes, and I'm going to really advocate for them in Congress. So I think it's that working class message that I think cuts across party lines.
Meanwhile, State Representative Katrina Shankland has served in the 71st Assembly District for 11 years since 2013. She points to professional experience, including working as a nonprofit professional in renewable energy and as a fellow for the Progressive Change Campaign. She attended Wittenberg-Burnhamwood High School and earned her bachelor's degree from UW-Madison in 2009. She also obtained her master's from the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point in 2019. While Cook has been cited as referring to Shanklin as a career politician that voters are more leery of, Shanklin tells WKBT-TV,
people want someone who can cut through that, cut through the brinksmanship, the partisanship, and the gamesmanship, and really reach the hand across the aisle and say, hey, I'm serious about getting something done. I know how to negotiate and compromise and get results, and I'll do it with you.
And the third candidate running in the Democratic congressional primary in the 3rd District, August 13th, to square off against Derek Van Orden is Eric Wilson, born in Menominee. Wilson earned a high school diploma from Bloomer High School and a bachelor's in economics from UW-Madison in 2015. His career experience includes working as an IT project manager. He also has career experience in healthcare and housing. As of this year, he was affiliated with NAMI Chippewa Valley, Chippewa Valley LGBTQ Community Center, the Eau Claire County Democratic Party, and Stonewall Sports. Meanwhile, there's also a Democratic primary in the 7th Congressional District featuring two candidates looking to score off against Republican incumbent Congressman Tom Tiffany. One of them is Elsa Duransu, who was born in Merrill. She served in the U.S. Air National Guard from 2011 to 2018 and earned her high school diploma from Merrill High School, a bachelor's from UW-Madison in 2016, and attended UW-Stevens Point. Her career experience includes working as an executive director. She's been affiliated with the Child Care Coalition of Wisconsin. And this is her speaking recently at the Democratic State Convention.
1 year ago, last night actually, I sat at my father's side as he said his last, I love you. My dad was a fighter. Rugged and tough, he fought to the very end. My dad was also a proud Democrat, and I know that he would be so proud to see me here today. He would have been proud to see how I fought to be here today. I am so happy that the theme this year is fighting for our freedoms, because I am a fighter. I'm the youngest of seven and had a fight for my place at the table. I am special in ways that I didn't understand as a child, which caused me to have to fight just to exist. There have been times that I've had to fight to defend myself, my person, and so I did. Something that I didn't have to fight for was my country, but I did. In ways, I swear. From a public servant to a community servant, I fight for social justice. I fight for project funding. And lately, I've been fighting to be considered a Dem. So what makes someone a Democrat? Is it that we are card-carrying members of the Democratic Party? Does voting blue down the ticket make a person a Democrat? Does sharing ridiculous memes about the other side on social media? Do our values of social equity, economic policies, environmental protections, and human-centered policies make us Dems? Is it that we're sitting here today? However you determine what it is to be a Democrat, I humbly caution you and encourage you to be careful of how you show up this election cycle. We all know that Wisconsin is an incredibly important state for this election, so please be mindful of the messages you push, and with that, the people you alienate. Because Wisconsin, no, the country, needs the North to show up like we did for Justice Protasiewicz. And we do that by putting forth our strongest, our best. That's why I fought so hard to be here today, because the North deserves the best. We deserve our strongest. My name is Elsa Durazzo, candidate for Wisconsin's Congressional District 7, and I will continue to fight for our freedoms. Thank you.
Also on the ballot with Durazzo in the Democratic primary for the 7th Congressional District coming up on August 13th is Kyle Kilborn, who earned his bachelor's degree from the University of Minnesota Twin Cities in 2000, a graduate degree and a PhD from the University of Southern Denmark in 2005 and 2008, respectively. We turn to Jake Force's report for WJFW-TV in Rhinelander, in which he begins with a soundbite from Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan.
I'm excited about his candidacy, and it's pretty clear that the folks in this room are as well.
On Saturday in Rhinelander, Democratic candidate Kyle Kilborn made his case for serving as the representative for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, a seat held by Republican Tom Tiffany since 2020. Kilborn, a design and innovation consultant by trade, emphasized the environment as well as needs among rural citizens as central to his campaign.
We need to focus on our rural communities. Focus on the heart of our communities, which includes the schools, includes our hospitals, includes funding for healthcare, our rural healthcare system. Looking at clean water and the environment, we love living up here because of the nature, and so we need to protect that.
Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan was also in attendance on behalf of the Joe Biden campaign to show support for the current president's re-election bid, but also voiced optimism for Kilborn's bid for the U.S. House of Representatives.
Kyle really believes in supporting, working families, making sure that folks have a fair shot, making sure that, you know, who you love is your own personal business, and protecting the individual rights and freedoms of folks here in Wisconsin.
Kilborn also gave a look at how he would approach the job if elected, while boldly taking a jab at Tiffany in the process.
He's not focused on the families in the area. He's focused on Washington politics. For me, it's about, you know, listening to people in the district, what problems are they having, and then coming up with solutions for that.
So those are the congressional primaries coming up on the Democratic side in the 3rd and 7th districts, trying to get their candidate August 13th to score off against the Republican Derek Van Orden in the 3rd and Tom Tiffany in the 7th, respectively. But what about legislatively? We've got new districts, redistricting approved by the left-leaning state Supreme Court. And so a lot of juggling going on. So let's try to keep this as straight as possible. In the 67th Assembly District, currently represented by Rob Summerfield, And Rob now running in the 68th. And in the 67th, you've got the Republican incumbent David Armstrong from the 75th in a primary with Jimmy Swenson and Democrat Jeff Foster waiting to take on who survives that in the November 5th general election. In the 68th, Democrat Richard Pulker is awaiting the winner of the primary, Rob Summerfield. Yes, the current incumbent in the 67th, running in the 68th now, the Bloomer native against Cliff Taylor there in the 68th. In the 69th, Karen Hurd was with us in the past, Chippewa Valley this week. She's moved from Fall Creek to the Withy area, where she's in a Republican primary against Lori Voss. When we spoke with her, she didn't know if she'd have a primary opponent. She does. And Roger Hall's waiting the Democrat to face the winner of that August 13th primary. In the 92nd Assembly District, you've got Clint Moses, who represents that 29th Assembly District around Menominee. And so now he's in the 92nd District going forward. And the primary is not something he's involved in. But however, on the Democratic side, Joe Plouffe used to represent the 29th Assembly District. He's come back vying against Caden Berg in the Democratic primary in the 92nd. And in the 93rd, a Democratic primary as well, as Warren Petrick has announced his retirement, the longtime Republican state representative, and Nicholas Butler, the well-known writer, going against Christian Phelps in a very, what seems to be a pretty competitive Democratic primary there. And James Rolbicki is awaiting as the Republican to square off in the November 5th general election. Finally, we turn to the two referendum questions that'll be on the ballot coming up on August 13th and the early voting before that. Now, the wording on referendums can often be a bit confusing. Two Wisconsin referendums on the August ballot are both trying to regulate how the governor distributes federal money, but neither is worded all that easily. For instance, the two different questions, one of them, State of Wisconsin Delegation of Appropriation Power Referendum Question 1, reads like this: Delegation of Appropriation Power, shall Section 35(1) of Article 4 of the Constitution be created to provide that the legislature may not delegate its sole power to determine how monies shall be appropriated? And Question 2, Allocation of Federal Monies, shall Section 35(2) of Article 4 of the Constitution be created to prohibit the governor from allocating any federal monies the governor accepts on behalf of the state without the approval of the legislature by joint resolution or as provided by legislative rule? Possibly you're reacting with, say what? So we turn to Sloan Wick of WSAW-TV, who gets some help in trying to explain this.
As you're filling out your ballot, it's important you know what you're voting on. Something that matters to Andrew Rashofsky, an expert in state public finance.
May not delegate its sole power to determine how monies shall be appropriated. What does that mean?
What the legislature wants to do is to prevent the governor from having power to decide how federal funds are being spent.
That's the basic goal of both referendums, to give the state assembly and state senate power to intervene in how the governor spends federal money. Supporters say this would promote communication in the government and put a check on the governor's power. But that could come at a big cost, according to political science professor Philip Rocco.
The legislature's intervention into those other programs has essentially slowed down the state from being able to allocate federal aid. In other words, that this is just one more kind of veto point that makes it harder for the state to effectively use federal funds.
Take a case where there's some emergency, natural disaster. The federal government gives some money to the state. Well, the governor has to then come to the legislature, and the legislature, maybe it's not even in session, has to make decisions.
Now that you know what the amendments mean, we can address an even bigger question. Why are they so confusing?
Unlike a number of other states, Wisconsin does not require the text of these amendments to be made available in plain English,
which often benefits the people writing them.
The language is hard to understand and people don't have a context of what is going on. It's much more likely that the amendments will pass.
Both amendments will be on the ballot later this summer. Dr. Rocco says they are the first referendums in Wisconsin history voters have been asked to decide on during an August primary.
Sloan Wick of WSAW-TV getting some help trying to make more understandable the two referendum questions you'll find on the August 13th primary ballot later this summer. Again, recapping this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, we began by delving into the two Democratic congressional primaries going on. Three candidates in the third congressional district Democratic primary and two in the Democratic primary for the seventh congressional district, both looking to take on the Republican incumbent congressman Derek Van Orden in the third and Tom Tiffany in the seventh, respectively, and a number of assembly primaries going on in the 67th, 68th, 69th, 92nd, and 93rd assembly districts here in western Wisconsin. I'm Mark Halverson, thanking you for listening to this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio.